Jesus made a statement. He said, if I go away, I will send unto you another comforter. The implication is very clear. He was a comforter. Sometimes Naomi will say to me, are you comfortable? When you sometimes get in bed, they'll put a comforter on you. The purpose of it is to comfort you or make you comfortable. There are so many things in this Bible that I preach down through the years. A lot of people take issue with the statements that I make. When I tell them I'm probably the most, probably have preached more than any preacher you've ever met. And this generation just has a hard time buying that. Now, there are preachers who have preached as long in the ministry, in years' time, 50 years or more. But they haven't preached more than me. First of all, one of my sermons sometimes is equal to about 10 of theirs. So if you broke them all down, it would be 10 sermons. And I doubt whether you've ever heard anybody beside the Apostle Paul who preached for a total of 8 or 9 hours. And I did that very easily in Cincinnati, Ohio. And when I went back the second time, I was very sick. And still I preached 4.5 to 5 hours. Amen. After fighting that battle all the way up the highway. Then went back the next day and preached another 4 hours. So preaching has been a very good medicine for me. It always strengthens me. Then to think of some of the things I preach. Now, it's like I said before. Most people don't know what a preacher is all about. In my days, most ministers were preachers. Meeting you people, some of you have hardly... You must have met at least one or two in your lifetime where you wouldn't have been saved. So somewhere, a preacher had to preach to you. Now that's all to it. Nobody got saved because somebody sang a song for you. Now I've always got a few angry with that. Oh, somebody sang a old rugged cross and I got saved. No, you didn't. It wouldn't have worked. That's just, God just, that's just not, well, somebody prayed for me and God saved me. No, that's not the way it works. Come on. Now, there you go. There you look. What you going to say? Well, I'm only going to say what the Bible says. Amen. It says God hath chosen. Singing, healing, miracles, pray, preaching, blessings. He had a great repertoire. Now, which one of these things did I use to save somebody? Healing, miracles, praying? I choose preaching. Well, that's the most foolish one out of the whole bunch. Somebody get up there and just wave his hands and holler and scream. And you're going to use that method? Why not use a miracle? And the scriptures are very clear on it. It says God is chosen by the foolishness. Now, the reason why a lot of men can't preach is because they don't know how to get foolish. Well, we've been told not to be foolish. Yeah, but now God says that his wisdom is wiser than the foolishness of man. And the foolishness of God is greater than the wisdom of man. The wise man calls this foolish to preach. If we're ever going to establish this church or turn this situation around, it's going to come by preaching. You can pray and fast all day long, but it's going to come by preaching. Preaching is the spoken word of God. It's speaking God's word.
Hallelujah.
That's what it is.
Thank God for it.
Now, by being around so long, I do have some advantages. There's hardly anything anybody can preach that I haven't heard.
Sure.
And how many times have I talked about the pendulum? How many times have I been involved in it? Years ago, I used to say we have people who preach all truth and they have no spirit.
Right.
Then we have folk who have all spirit and no truth.
That's it.
Then we have those that have all law and no grace. Then we have those that have all grace and no law.
Thank
And it just goes back and forth like that. Now, what happens with that is, I never forget, we were over here preaching in King Street a couple years ago, and I preached grace. What we used to call it, greasy grace. I just preached grace, 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 plus nothing, grace. And one night coming home, she said to me, "What are you doing?" She said, "You, every night all you do is just preach grace." I said, "Bunch of law keepers here." That's what I had. I had a bunch of law keepers, boy, and they were just making it difficult on themselves. You know, a law keeper doesn't make it hard on anybody else. It's harder on himself. Because he got to live it. Boy, a man's going to talk about keeping the law. He can't fail in one point. Not one. And the tragedy of that is he's going to. He's going to. There's no question about it. He's going to do it. And God ordained that way. But I've been in places where I preach the law. Just bang, bang. Why? Grace preachers. See? You got that pendulum. We seem to have such a hard way to hit that straight now. And just go right down the middle. And allow the law to do what it's supposed to do. And grace to do what it's supposed to do.
That's right.
And that's because of man itself. See that nature in man. That thing that God took a risk at. I was thinking about that verse of scripture again today. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And I was sitting around the table, and I didn't want to get up and talk. You notice I didn't preach tonight at the table. Hey, y'all should have went home happy on that one. Oh, you didn't go home happy? Oh, okay. I didn't preach tonight at the table, you know.
Yeah, that's true, man.
Hello? Y'all didn't notice that?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, I thought you would notice that and go home and say, ah. But I was sitting there. The Lord did talk to me. And he said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And he said, you see, you've done with that like you've done with a lot of other things. You try to put the burden on man.
Right. Come on.
Don't you folks know that Christ in you is the hope of glory? You better measure up. And then we all trying to measure up. And we just serve for some reason or other. And the Lord said to me, he said, I want you to listen to it again. Christ in you is the hope of glory. It's God's hope. There is nothing, no character of God that will fail. And hope is part of God's character. It won't fail. Christ in you is his hope. Now faith is the substance of the things. And I remember years ago telling people, how many times we talk about having faith in God. You ever thought about how much faith God had in you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, Paul said, I live by that faith.
Amen.
The faith that God has
Hallelujah.
In me.
Amen.
That's what he said. I don't care how you want to look at it.
Hallelujah.
He said, the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of God. Not faith in God.
Amen.
By God's faith in me.
Amen.
Just before I left to come tonight, I took a little walk up to the office and back, and I thought to myself, if this congregation does not receive the word of God, there is no way to help you.
No.
We are a gainsaying people. There's something inside of us that resists truth.
Right.
And we need to somehow allow this word to do what it's intended to do.
Yeah,
it's intended to remind you of your worthlessness.
Yeah.
But that's only to make you realize his greatness.
Yeah.
It reminds you of your helplessness, but that's only to make you realize he is your helper. It reminds you of your sin, but that's only to let you know he will save you from your sin. He will remind you of your weakness as you read this book, but that's only to make you realize how strong he is. You better let this word do what it's supposed to do. Brought to my mind scripture. I can still remember it. See, there's things I preached in the past under such divine anointing that I'm even afraid that I never tackle them again. I mention them, but I don't even know. I remember the messages. Now remember this one particular in Hempstead, Long Island. It overwhelmed me one night in a tent meeting there. Where Jesus said, "Oh Jerusalem, how often," that got to me. How often? Can I say it another way? No limitation. No restrictions. "What I have gathered you together," he says. How often I would have done it. How often? He's trying tonight again. I can just tell he's trying to do it right now. "Gather you together under my wings. As a mother hen would gather her brood." And out of his mouth said, "But you would not." I've never been able to fathom that statement. Why would a husband turn down the love of his wife? Or the wife reject the love of her husband? Why would a child refuse the love of its mother? Or a brother the love of a brother? But it's done. People do it. You would not. Now I implore you tonight, let's not be that group. Amen. Tonight calling you didn't answer. I reached out for you and you wouldn't say, "I'm over here."
That's right.
Oh, let nobody fool you. When God came on the scene in the Garden of Eden, and Adam was not waiting on him, how his heart was overjoyed when he cried, "Adam, where art thou?" And even though he was in sin and had covered his own nakedness, Adam stepped out and said, "I'm here, God."
Yes,
oh, how it thrilled the heart of God.
Hallelujah.
Under condemnation now, under judgment.
Yes.
But he still said, "I'm here."
Yes.
How often I would have gathered you. But you would not. But I failed God. He knows. He's calling your name. Yes, he is. Now, another message I remember that I've never been able to preach like I wanted to the day it was. This one took place in Boston in the Bradford Hotel. I was driving all night long, and I never even thought I'd preach a message like this. It was not my character, my mannerism. Mm-hmm. And the wording was sort of mushy. You know, one of those mushy, emotional, honeymoon, lover-type words. I looked at him and I thought, "My Lord." But oh, I'll never forget the day I preached it. It was on a Saturday afternoon. Jesus said, "I will send you another comforter." Another comforter.
Right.
How many people think of the Holy Spirit like that? A guide? A strength?
Yes.
But a comforter? Warmth? Security? Peace, tranquility, a surety, a better surety. Said, "I will send you another comforter." Who can be better than you? Oh, I'm going to send you one that's even better than me. That's what he said. Now, believe it or not, the last few days, the Lord's been indelibly trying to get a message to this generation of Christians. And I'm going to see if I can touch it a little bit tonight. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Isn't that nice?
Yes.
Shh, it's okay. Right. Don't worry about it. But it's cold. Just snuggle up. Now, you people know by now I'm a deliberate man. And I'm going to watch your faces. And some of your faces got me really troubled tonight. You begin to receive something by the change of a countenance. That's how you begin to receive it. So, let me hold up the mirror.
Glory.
How do you look? Look at your husband. Look at your wife. Ask him, "How do I look?" Speak you comfortably. What a way to speak, huh? You see me trying?
Amen.
It's even difficult to do, isn't it? How do you comfort a disturbed spirit? How do you comfort someone who just broke its leg or broke its heart or bleeding? Looks like they're... Yeah, it's going to be all right. It'll be okay. How many times have you said that when you didn't even know for sure? But you just knew that's where it had to begin. You had to get your attitude right. But I hurt myself. Look, it'll be all right. But look what I did. It'll be all right. Without even knowing what the end result would be, you knew that in order for that individual at that time, with that situation, there had to be some comfort. And I want to tell you, bruised, beaten soldiers who've been in a warfare, you're wounded. It's going to be all right. It is going to be all right. I trust in God wherever I may be, or land or sea or oar on the stormy sea. Let come what may, let billows roll. My heavenly Father watches over me. It's going to be all right. What's going to make it all right? It's just going to be all right. We have a God who does right. So comfort ye my people. Speak comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. Her warfare is accomplished. Lord have mercy. The war is over. All we have to do is to mop it up now. It's finished. The battle is over. It is finished. And there will be no more war. Hey, come on, church. If you don't realize it, you better wake up. This ain't a skirmish that the battle still has to be decided. Jesus said, I am he that was dead, and I am alive. And I have the keys of death and hell and the grave. And he said, because I live, you shall live also. It is finished. Hallelujah. Hey, we're not waiting for the final score. He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. It'll be all right. Just a little while longer, and it'll be all right. Just give it a little time. How long, O Lord, before you avenge us? Just a little while. You wouldn't want your other brothers and sisters who got to die a martyr's death. You wouldn't want them to miss out, would you?
No.
You wouldn't want those Stevens to miss out, would you?
No.
Just a little while now. Let the subs get in.
Amen.
Let the reserves come on in. And let their playing time in this game.
Amen.
Let them say that they were in the game. And they just didn't sit on the sideline. But they got in the last minute. And their name is on the roster. Hallelujah. And when the crowns are given out, they will get their crown just like the fellow who played the whole game. It's a little while longer. It'll be all right. It's going to be all right. Hallelujah. This drama has been played in full. It's been done before. You comfort my people. You tell her warfare is accomplished. That her iniquity is pardoned.
Thank the Lord.
For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. I wish there was a way I could get out of the Just for your sake sometime, because I sound like a wet dish rag. But that pattern, so many people miss it. They just miss it. We've preached so much of fables in this thing that the detail that God went through to lay it all out. I was thinking about that scripture that talked about as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days. Now, you got to mind you, I've done no studying. I have a few scriptures that popped in my heart, and then I didn't write them down. And I thought, maybe I ought to write them down so I don't forget them. The Lord said, didn't I bring them to you once? I said, yeah. I said, well, if I want you to get them, I'll bring them to you again. I'll bring all things you remember. So that's me. I'm an extraneous preacher. That no notes, no particular subject. Just a goal in mind. I want to show you something now. I want to show you how we miss things. As Jonah was in the belly of the earth, even so must the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. Now, the scriptures tell us that we were made from the dust of the earth. Only once in my life did I ever hear a man ever do this, and I have done it from time to time, but most people don't buy it, so we usually don't touch it. But Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. In earth. In earth. In earth. In earth. In earth. We're the earth. Let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done in earth. Now, the kingdom of heaven came, of God came on the day of Pentecost. And it came in earth. And it's been there 2,000 years. It's been in earth. The kingdom of God is in you. It's been in earth. On the third day, you're going to rise again. He's been in man. He said to the church, he said, the Holy Spirit has been with you. But he shall be in you. And so he came and he dwelt in earth. And we're about ready to come to the third day. And early on the morning of the third day. Who were getting ready to come to the early of the morning of the third day? I'll rise again. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, you talk about the foreknowledge of God. You just talk. You know, man has never been able to comprehend the measure of time that God measures with. It's just mind-boggling. The first day was 1,000 years to God. That's right. And it's just one day. See, and for you to understand that, he said, now 1,000 years to God would be one day to you. In other words, so you get a little perspective of this. Now, how long does it take? How many weeks have you lived? I mean, don't you think you ought to understand a week by now? Don't you think somewhere down the line we ought to get a little concept of how long a week lasts?
Yeah.
And you can see why Satan didn't like us to continually be reminded of the ending of a week. By keeping the Sabbath, because that's what God was trying to do. He was trying to keep you that constant reminder of how quickly a week goes. And so he says, in my time frame, that's just how fast it's gone. It's been 6,000 years, but it's just been a week. Yeah, just a few days ago, it was Monday. We still don't know how to comprehend time. Now, in the beginning, I've told you, it was not God's beginning. In the beginning of time. It was in time that God decided to make man and reveal himself to man.
Right.
Not in eternity, in time. Angels were eternal beings. He made man from the dust of the earth with the potential of becoming eternal. So in the beginning of the first 1,000 year period, in the very beginning of that first, he created the heavens and the earth. Now, he had to do that before he could cast Satan down to it. Mm-hmm. Satan was cast out of heaven. He was cast down to. Well, there had to be an earth to be cast down to. So this all came about after Satan sinned. And God decided that this is the way he was going to deal with man. And I said, I don't want to mess with it too long. In his infancy, in his eternal thought pattern, he said, this little skeeter, this little angel trying to mess up my eternal kingdom, and I don't want to mess with it too long. So he created time. See, and Satan watched him do it too, boy. He watched him. So he knows what time is. See, he knows. He knows. He knows the time, boy. He knows. So God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning of time. Not God's beginning. God is without a beginning or without an ending. In order for you to understand his character, he came down and put himself in the form of a man who had a beginning. Jesus said, I am the beginning.
Amen.
And I am the ending. Amen. So he's the beginning of time and the ending of time. In the beginning was the Word. So in order to give us a little concept, he gave Christ as a man. Now, he creates the heaven and the earth. Then he casts Satan down. He casts him down. I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. When he casts Satan down, you remember now, he became the messenger of darkness. Now, God created darkness too. See? So, when Satan lost the power to glorify light, then he had the ability to operate in darkness. So, he covered the earth with darkness. You watch when he brings you down what he does to you. You watch whenever anything he does that brings you down, you'll go into darkness. You're going to confusion. You become void. You lose your sense of direction. Anytime you sin, that happens to you. Anytime. You should have had enough experience to know what I'm saying is the truth. You should have enough experience. I remember walking with God and just going along. One little sin, all of a sudden, disarray. Darkness and confusion, void, emptiness. Now notice when he did that. He did it when he was cast down. That's why David said, why are you cast down so? Don't be cast down. Paul said, I want to tell you something. Satan might try to catch you, but you're never forsaken. Don't let being cast down make you feel like you've missed the mark. Because you're not going to be forsaken. See? Now, the point I want to get across is this. Satan, again, in these end times, you see, I've said this dozens of times. There's only a few people of mankind who has ever had a personal confrontation with Lucifer. All the trouble that you've had in your life come from one little devil. Just one. Why do I say one? Simply, Satan was cast out of heaven with a third of the angels. That left two-thirds in heaven. So for every chosen vessel, there's two angels to protect them, at least, minimum. Now this is how accurate God is about who he's going to save. He couldn't save too many, he'd run out of angels. That might be over your head. You know, he drove that home to me this morning again when I was talking about Noah. I've had people get angry with me. But God specifically, 100 years before he told Noah to get in the ark, he said, this is who I am going to save. And he did say it. He said, I'm going to save you, Noah, your wife, your sons, and their wives. 100 years before he ever told him to get in the ark. That's who's going to be saved. Nobody else. If he'd have saved 9, he'd have been alive. If he'd have saved 7, he'd have been alive. Why do we have such a hard time grasping the accuracy of God?
Amen.
The preciseness of God. I'm telling you, he saved one man. He will save one man for every two angels. Because that one man is going to take the place of that one angel that fell.
Yeah, good.
And God knows the number.
That's right.
The exact number.
Amen.
I mean the exact, not a guess. The scripture says he literally knows how many hair are on your head and gives each hair its own number. Now that, I don't care how you comprehend that. I don't care what your little peanut brain does with that one. The best to this point that man has come is they can take a little part of your hair, your scalp. Yes, they can. They take just a little speck of it, and then they very meticulously count how many hairs are in that little speck. And then they'll sort of measure your head sort of with some kind of thing and give you an estimate about how many hairs you got in your head. That's the best they can do. But God said, I can give each hair a number. That's how good he is. All the hair on your head, and I've gone through that one with you in the past. How that shook me to the core one morning when I read that. See, if he had just said, all the hair on your head are numbered, that I could understand. That's no problem. See, there's 120 people here. Let's say I put 120 chairs down, and they're all full. Well, I know how many people's there. There's 120 people there. But if I say you all have your own number, all of you are all numbered. Yeah. Now I even know better where you are. Especially if I know where number 26 chair is. I know exactly where you are. But number 26, please stand up. Come on, 26, I know where you are. See, God knows where you are. He gave you a number, gave you a name, put you down. See, that's why he's against numbering, because he has you numbered. That's why Satan's trying to number, because he knows God has every one of his numbered. Put his mark on you. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And all he does is let you know you are mine. You belong to me. Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Lord, are some of you people going to resist being comforted tonight? The little woman suffering at the hands of the physician. If I can just touch him, I need some comfort. Doctor says I won't be healed. My bank book is broken and gone. Nobody wants to take me in anymore. I'm a bloody mess. I don't know where to go. And then Jesus passed by. It wasn't by chance. God is standing by. They came and they were blessed. And the weary soul found rest. He caused the blinded eyes to see. He made the lame to walk, and he caused the dumb to talk. By the shore of the blue Galilee. Yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. He knows. See, Satan, he can't put two devils on you. That would make him equal with God. He don't have that many devils to put around. And I want to tell you something. Everybody out there does not have a devil on them. They are charged to get God's people. They got them. Not to worry about them. Paul said there was given unto me a messenger of Satan. Who was sent. A demon sent from God. Oh, God don't do that. Sure he does. Praise the Lord. So there's been hardly anybody that's ever had any personal contact with Lucifer. You just, most of us couldn't hack the guy. He's smart. And he does emanate qualities that should be worshipped. And he would, most cases, if we didn't watch ourselves, hey, how many times have we been seduced? Come on. Into false things. Oh, how'd I get caught in that? My God, that wasn't pure. I think back to some of the things I used to do in church years ago. Because I thought it was worship. And I look back at it now and I say, my God, it was so fleshly. It was so ungodly. It was a seduction. Do I have to give you a demonstration or do you understand? And when I first came here, you know, I got a lot of folks that left because I wouldn't let them do their fleshly type worship. I'd stop them. So we're finding now that Satan has not only been cast down to earth again, but he has now been given a charge to come down to earth. See, what you're going to do, you do it quickly. And Satan entered into flesh. And you've never heard anybody else ever say this. For some reason or other, they avoid it. But the Antichrist is going to be Lucifer himself manifested in flesh. Just like Jesus was God manifested, revealed. And they're literally going to, he's literally going to eventually tell the people, I am Lucifer. Whether you like it or not, the secret brotherhood, the New Age movement, they honor Lucifer without any hesitation at all. They call him the good God. And they honor Jesus, but they call him the bad God. They literally do that now. We call them Luciferians. They literally, honestly acknowledge that their God is Lucifer and that he's a good God. And I remember some time ago telling you, if you listen, that the scripture says, and the man of sin be revealed to be the son of perdition. You will hear the world eventually tell us our God is Lucifer. They will boldly declare it. It is going to be the God of the new age, of the new world. They're not going to accept Jesus or Yeshua. They won't even accept Allah. They're going to have their one and only God. So Satan has already been charged to come down. I promise you, he's already in his man. Look at him, look at me. Did Jesus, God in the flesh, walk among men for 30 years? You don't think that Satan has been down on this earth laying out his kingdom? Going about his business and nobody basically knows who he is? He will be manifested one of these days. You will get a proclamation by his prophet. There is the Christ. There is the God. And the second beast causes all to worship the first beast. The false prophet. The Pope of Rome. That's who he is. Yeah, the false prophet is going to be the Pope of Rome. Yes. Yes. No discussion. Proclamation. No reasoning. Well, but so-and-so said the false prophet, the Antichrist. No, he's not. No, the Pope is the false prophet. He's not the Pope. I mean, the Pope is the false prophet. He's not the Antichrist. Am I making it right? Yeah, and he's going to just say, hey, there's our God. Yeah, he's the John the Baptist of the pagan religion. Now, the point I want to get across is, how do I know that Satan has been cast down to earth? It was a measure of time. In the beginning of God created, Satan cast down, became the prince of the power of the air, and immediately covered the earth with darkness. And it was without form or void. It was disarray. Now he's been cast down again, commanded to come down. And today, the darkness is sweeping across the world.
Amen.
And gross darkness to people. And there is no form. There is no real purpose in life anymore. Families are gone. Kingdoms are gone. Even to be a president doesn't have its glory no more. Come on. To be a rich man doesn't have its glory no more. Come on. There are millions of millionaires, you know. Come on. It was a time to be a millionaire. You were somebody. Now you got one right down the street, across the block from you. God with me, church. You're not with me. There is no purpose in life anymore. Children have no hope of growing up to be anything. Hope is gone. Security is gone. It's without form. It's dark. How can you be comforted? And God said, let there be light. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The light's coming. The light is coming. In the midst of this perverse darkness, there is going to be a bright shining light. Oh, he's going to consume the wicked with the brightness. With the brightness. With the brightness of his coming. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Arise and shine, for the light has come. Oh, glory be to God. People who have been in great darkness, surrounded by, are going to see a great light.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory. Thank God.
You are children of light.
Yeah.
We love light.
Yeah.
It is not going to reveal anything in us.
No.
We have been cleansed and clean. Shine on, O light. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Turn on the light. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. How do I get you to grasp this? In the beginning, the light shined. In the end, as darkness covers the earth, the light's going to shine. Yes, it is. You see, we quote Revelations 12 and 12, and we always quote. And it's a good verse to quote. But there's a little bit something there we should not ignore. See, we quote, for the devil's come down on you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. But that ain't the way that verse starts. That verse starts as, therefore rejoice, you heavens.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Hey, hello.
Amen.
Therefore you rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Now, where are you dwelling? Where are you dwelling? He that dwelleth in the secret place. We have been made to dwell in heavenly places. Hey, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. We're not the inhabitants of the earth. He's our, because thou hast made the Lord thy God thy dwelling place. Amen. No evil shall befall you. No plague come nigh thy dwelling. Hallelujah. 1,000 will fall at your side, and 10,000 at your Lord God Almighty. Glory be to God. It's going to be all right.
Amen.
I heard the little children to come on to me with their bruised knees and their scrapped elbows and their broken bones. It's going to be all right. There is a palm in Gilead. It's going to be all right. Oh, I long for things to be right. Make it right, Father. Make it right, Daddy. Oh, sometimes Naomi will ask me something, and I said to myself, she really believes I can make it right. Just tell Daddy about it. I must tell Jesus all of my sorrow. Just tell him about it. Just, why don't you call him up? Call him up. Just tell him what you want. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Let the heathen rage. Let them imagine their vain things. Our God reigns. Glory be to God. He that sits on the circle of the earth. My Lord. On the circle of the earth. Sure wish I was young again so I could shout. Glory be to God. Awake, you drunkards, and weep. And how, all you drinkers of wine, because of the new wine. For it is cut off from your mouth. Tell it to your children. Come on, you old man. I mentioned some preacher's name today, and you folk don't even know about him. I talk about the great meetings, and you don't know a thing about them. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Things aren't like they used to be. And when all hope was gone, we just cast the lines and let her drift. Just perchance, the storm itself will save us if we don't fight the storm. That's what they were doing. No more anchors here. The anchor ain't going to hold in the storm. So just let her drift. Maybe this going with the storm. Maybe. Let the priest, the minister of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to repose that the heathen should rule them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Hey, how many times have you wanted to be like Elijah? Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where is this God who parts the waters? Who rains down manna out of heaven? Where is this God that reached down and I was so confident of him 20 years ago? I remember when my burden rolled away, but where is he at? Where is this God? You cry and pray like that. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. And pity, comfort. Amen. Have pity. You ever had somebody pity you?
Yes.
When you needed it?
Yes.
Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn and wine in oil. Isn't that something? He just sent us corn and wine and oil. We just got it all. You don't know they call olive oil wine sometimes? We got lots of it. And then we got oil too. And corn. Lots of it. Oh my. You should be satisfied. Oh boy. Now I want you to listen to what I'm saying to you. Tell your children of it And let your children tell their children, and their children another generation. Tell them what? That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten. And that which the locust hath left hath the cankerworm eaten. And that which the cankerworm hath left hath the caterpillar eaten. Boy, that's bad. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he hath given you the former rain moderately, but he will cause to come down on you the rain, the former and the latter rain in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil, and I will restore to you the year that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army, which I sent among you, the restoration of all things. Hallelujah! Glory be to God! Come and dine, the Master calleth.
Amen.
And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And you know what you're going to do? You're going to praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Oh, hallelujah! Glory be to God! To the utmost, Jesus says. The hand of the Lord was upon me. I tell you, them Old Testament prophets, they sure were presumptuous, weren't they? The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. Boy, they would tear him apart. Just who does this guy think he is? The hand of the Lord is upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And how many times have I tried to paraphrase that? God picked me up and set me down in the biggest bone yard in the world, the United States of America. A valley full of bones. Dead, dry bones. Not a viable religion anywhere. He called me to pass by them round about. Yeah, I've been passing them all by. I'm all around. There's not too many churches that I don't know what they believe or what they teach. And I've said thousands of times, you want to make somebody mad, just find out what they say they believe and preach it. I used to go into the churches years ago and just take what they used to have a little thing called the discipline, a little book. And it would have out all their it was their book of Moses. It was their little discipline to be a member of the church. Like the catechisms, you know. And I used to go into church and just open up the catechism book and preach out of their book and make them so mad at me. They think that's what Jesus did, you know. He said, take the book. Just take the book. I remember going to places and people said, preach the word, preach the word. And I was quoting scripture after scripture. I still remember right here under tent, sitting right there, a woman. Well, it might have been over here at that time. I think it might have been this area. But we were eating under the tent, and there was a woman came here from down where Brother Wayne come from. One of Terrell's prodigies who had been told she was a preacher. Well, Terrell's little thing was falling apart, so a lot of them were looking for another place to go.
Yeah, all right.
And they thought I was another Terrell. Some folks still believe that. Somebody said to me the other day, you and Brother Terrell. I said, oh, come on, don't put me in the same class. I'll be number with Terrell.
No.
Sorry, I just don't want to be.
No.
And I'm sure he don't be number with me.
No.
We're not in the same number.
No.
But she wants to move over here. And so she started discussing about it, and I said, well, you know, we don't have women preachers over here. And boy, it just floored her, you know, because she thought sure was you. She's going to come over here and get the chance to preach. And she said, well, I don't care what you say. God called me to preach. I said, it did, huh? So I just opened the Bible, and I says, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll let you get in the pulpit if you preach this verse right here. Let your women keep silent in the church. I said, will you tell me how you can preach that and obey it at the same time? Can't do it, you know. Unless you find another word for silent. Like the little old lady apostle up the road here. Every time her group would come, they're all faggots. Every man among them was a faggot. And they all, ooh, Apostle Helen Smith. I said, yeah, I can see that. And she was a big old tough talking woman, you know. And all the men was little old sissies. And her favorite scripture was, a woman shall compass a man. I said, you're an apostle, huh? You don't know what the word compass means. See, their meaning of compass means go ahead of or get in front of. It doesn't mean that. The word compass means that men will be surrounded by women. Compass, compass, surround. Not surpass. See, compass. But what can you do? Like the old black preacher over here, get on the radio, Lord. And somebody asked him why he did that. Well, I said, don't you Bible says that blessed are those that moan? He thought the word mourn meant moan. So he moaned. Lord. He moaned. Is it no wonder? There was an article in the paper today. It talked about the Christian churches. It says, here we go around and we integrate everything. Schools, everything. But we won't integrate the churches. Christianity is one force that should have made us one. And we haven't done it. Because it's not true Christianity.
No.
This is the Baptist type of Christianity. Or Methodist. Or Episcopalian. Or Assembly of God. I wonder how they preach sanctify them that they might be one. They don't. So he caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very, very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin.
Thank the Lord.
Now, I read that because of the palmer worm, and the canker worm, and the caterpillar. Do you know that these are worms that destroy from without? None of them destroy from within. They're all work on the out.
Amen.
They eat away from without.
Right.
They destroy the protection, the covering.
Okay.
And one of the things that got a hold of Job was a skin worm.
Mm-hmm.
It was eating his flesh right off his body. And Job said, though the skin worms eat my flesh, yet in my body I shall see God.
Yeah.
So, you see what God did here? He put skin.
Thank you.
I thought they'd get it, Lord. I got it. You know what skin does? It makes you look alike. Yeah, it covers the whole body. You don't see a man with a black man with a white arm. The skin's black underneath the shirt too, ain't it, Timothy? And pants leg too. It makes you look alike. Skin has actually become an identifying mark. How many people have been judged by their skin? Come on. You not with me on that? We judge folk by their skin. Well, God said, I'm going to put some skin on y'all. They're going to be able to identify us. Ah, oh, never mind. I thought y'all would get it.
Glory.
All right, let me go on. I will lay sinews upon you, bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied. Now, I've told you dozens and dozens of times, if you've listened to me, that prophesying and preaching is two different things. See, they've been trying to find something that I prophesied. And I really don't know of any specific thing that I've ever prophesied. Or you might have construed it as a prophecy. But tell me something I've prophesied. A prophecy is a definite thing spoken that will happen at a definite time. That's a prophecy. Yeah, you can pinpoint it. It's going to happen. Now, I have hey, I still remember the last time. Hey, Tex! Go back and pull out that one interview when you came to me and said, now we're going to hear a sure, more sure word of prophecy.
Amen.
And yes, I do prophesy the most surest word of prophecy the world has ever heard.
Amen.
Jesus is coming. This is the last generation. He's coming in your lifetime. And if you want to call a prophecy, that I have prophesied. But I have not given no date to it, except after the tribulation. And yes, that's when he's coming. But prophecy is different than just preaching. When you preach, you tell somebody that if they do this or do that, then this will happen. Or this could happen. Or that could happen. Or this won't happen. That's preaching. See, I have prophesied here tonight. It's going to be all right.
Amen.
No, I don't care what you do. No, my God reigns. And everything is going to be all right. Whether you like it or not, he's got the whole world in his hand. He sits high and he looks low. And he's got all things under his control. And everything is going to be all right.
Amen.
Let them rage all they want to.
Amen. Oh my God.
He's going to be all right.
Amen.
That's the way it is.
Amen.
I prophesied as I was commanded. And I prophesied and there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now that's basically where the church is right now.
Yes, sir.
It's like Adam laying in the garden, perfectly formed now, a perfect body, not a blemish on it. Perfect body. And there was no breath in it. God's body's out here. A perfect body. But there's no breath in it. He said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man. You see why they don't want somebody to be the son of man? You see why hell is raging?
Yeah.
That spokesman for God, that mouthpiece for God, that voice of God that can say, let there be light, let the wind blow, let the heathen rage. Come on. That mouthpiece that speaks with a proclamation in a prophecy, let it be, it's going to be. Rage on, hell. Rage on. And say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.
Thank God.
It's going to be all right.
Amen.
Everything going to be all right.
Amen.
Some through the water, some through the flood. Some through great sorrow, but all through the blood. I'm going through.
Amen.
I'm going through.
Amen.
Yeah, we're going through. Are we going through the tribulation? Yes, sir.
Amen.
Right on through it into the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
You got shoes and I got shoes. And I children got you. You got a crown and I got a crown. crown, and you got a robe, and I got a robe. Lift up your heads, all you gates, and the King of Glory shall come in. Even lift them up, you everlasting doors. The Lord you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. You are the temple of God. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived. And they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is, and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my people, I will open your graves. I will cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know. I shall put my spirit in you and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Thy kingdom come. And thy will be done. In earth. As Jonah was in the belly of the earth, or the whale, for 3 days and three nights, even so must the Son of Man be in the belly of the earth for 3 days. And on a third day, and on a third one, he's been here for 2 days now. We're getting ready to go into the third day, folks. Let all the world mock it. We're getting ready to go into the third day. And it was the Sabbath. Early. When the Sabbath ended, he came and he was resurrected. Believe it or not, I don't want to get into discussion, but I believe he resurrected on a Sabbath day. He was resting, you know. What a perfect manifestation of rest. He was done. It was finished. His work was done. Oh, your poor minds. All I did was throw a little block. Now let's go and see if we can figure out what day it was. They've been trying to do that for years. Don't figure it. Hear it. I just told you. Oh, how they figured it. You know, I had a chuckle today again. As this new guy, this new kid on the block. He called right away when I was on WGUN because I was quoting about how you're not going to know your mama, your daddy. You know, people honestly believe that. Come on, look at me. Some of you even want to believe it. Oh, you mean I'm not going to know my daddy when I get up there? Yeah, you're going to know your daddy. Yeah, you're going to know him. Yeah, you're going to know him. And I thought how God takes a scripture and just confounds these mighty. You shall be known as we are known. Well, how are you known? Well, I know you as daddy or you as brother Stair. Yeah, he's talking about how we know each other after the spirit. Yeah, people honestly believe that their mom and daddy's in heaven today. Yeah. Remember a song, boy, you could get people saved, or you can get them to ball or squall with anyway, even if you couldn't get them saved. They tell mother, boy, they come running to the altar. Now, if you tell them, tell God I'll be there, they wouldn't bring them. No. But tell them, tell mama, and they want to get saved. They weren't so much concerned about being with their God. They want to be with mama. Mark it down, friends. Families and marriages are not going to be in the kingdom. Those are two things that God has allocated to time and time alone. And every family and every marriage has ended because of time. Every relation you ever had, brother of brother, time has ended them all. And time's going to end this one. You can't do nothing about it. I'm sorry, folk. Every family has been broken up by time. Every relationship has been ended by time. Now sit there like a bunch of peanut brains and act like you don't know what I'm saying. You could live with your husband 50 years, but when that time came, it's gone. You could, our families lived on the ground for 40 years, and time says that's it. And we're going to have a relationship that time can't end. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Well, I think I'm done. Just want to tell y'all before I leave tonight, it's going to be all right. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of His dear face, all sorrow will be raised. Hallelujah. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Yesterday, old Jade got me angry, and I beat her pretty bad. So all day today, she didn't know how to take me. When I tried to feed her, she wouldn't eat because she wasn't sure if I was going to let her do it or not. So I took her out to the field, and she's cowering, crawling on her belly. And there was only one way I could get that dog back to normal. I had to comfort her. I showed her pity. She wouldn't come. I had some of that nice refrigeration food that we have up there. That usually she gulps down about 2 gulps. She wouldn't even touch it. And she was on her belly in submission to me. And I said, come, Jade. She wouldn't come because two or three times she'd come before and I hit her. And so she says, I don't know whether I should go or not. So finally I reached over and I grabbed her. I pulled her up to me. She's in my eyes looking up for it. And I went, good dog. Good dog. Good dog, Jade. Ah, scratch her behind the ear. Rubbed her belly. Her eyes started softening up. I comforted her. You wouldn't think that the same heavy hand could do that, would you? Can I tell you something, brothers and sisters? Your petting that dog on the head would have meant nothing. The only way that dog could have been comforted is if the one that she has known to be her master comforted her. Now you got a master. And sometimes he may put you on your belly. And he'll put a pot of food out there and you're afraid to eat it. And he may have to reach over and pull you up and say, it's okay. It's going to be all right. I wish you could have seen the transformation in that dog in just a matter of minutes. For somehow or other, she forgot. She was just as normal as she's ever been. And she was running all over the place and hollering at the old bear. And they were having a ball. And I'd holler down and she'd go down. And she'd look at me and say, come. She'd come flying to me. And she was just having a wonderful time listening and obeying my orders. Oh, hallelujah. It's going to be all right. The master says it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Comfort you, my people. I used to sing a song about the 99 about an old black man. And, of course, I'd end the song by, they would ask him why he was the way he was. And he ended by saying, I met the master. And he mastered me. Has the master mastered you? Master. The tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. Oh, master. Did you know that's one of the few times they called Jesus master? They found him down in the ship sound asleep. And they said, master. Right time to use the word. You ain't with me. The wind was raging. The storm was raging. And they found him asleep in the bottom of the ship. And they didn't say, Lord. They said, Master. Carest thou not that we perish? He got up and he said, peace. Be still. He mastered the storm. And the scripture said that they marveled that even the winds and the waves obey his command. Defy your Lord and Master. Did I just say all that? And y'all didn't get it? How many times did he call him Master? He arose and calmed the winds and the storm. He turned around and says, I don't know what's wrong with you, fellas. It's going to be all right. You know, scripture says that immediately there at the shore. Boy, how quick he can move things. Shall we stand? The old black folk used to sing a song, everything going to be all right. I wish I knew it, but I don't. But it's going to be all right. Our Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. I love you. And I give you glory and praise. I thank you for keeping us through another day. Before I let you go tonight, just before Brother Kirk left the campground at their farm, he stopped by to talk to me for a few minutes, and he talked about who was going to preach tonight. I said, me, I guess. Now everybody knows that I step out of the way. So I said, well, if you want to preach, it's all right. He said, well, you know, he got something, but he said, so I'll tell you what I'll do. So if I really get to go ahead, I'll call you before 5:00. Well, he didn't call. Now, what am I trying to tell you? That God wanted you to hear what I just told you. Everything is going to be all right. Don't resist it. How often? I would have gathered you under my wings. But you would not. Don't be like that. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. I will arise and go to my Father's house. And say, I'm no longer worthy to be called thy son. Maybe it's one of thy hired servants. But the father turns around and said to the elder brother, this, my son. This, my son. Oh, hallelujah. My son. It's going to be all right. And he sends his spirit into your heart, whereby you can cry, Abba, Father. His spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. May the Lord bless you. Have a good night.